Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. As we've reported this week, when the trial of Jahar Tsarnaev resumes on Monday, defense attorneys hope to call Sister Helen Prejean to the witness stand. Prejean is a Catholic nun and a longtime opponent of the death penalty who wrote the book Dead Man Walking, which was made into a film. It's about her advocacy for those on death row and how she accompanies many of them to their executions. In 2013, Dead Man Walking was turned into an opera, written by Jake Heggie and Terrence McNally. It tells the story of Joseph DeRocher, a convicted murderer, and Sister Prejean's struggle to save his life. Back then, we talked to Helen Prejean about her work and what she thought about the opera based on her work.
The first thing that came to my mind was that we had the book, we had the film, which took people to very deep places on both side of this issue, the victim's family and the perpetrator and his family, and now there was going to be an opera. And I was very thrilled because I know opera is the fullness of both drama and music, which instructs the heart and can take us to places we've never been before.
Now, as I mentioned, you've been committed to this work for a long, long time. How does this opera, Dead Man Walking, further your cause? Does it further your cause?
Well, here's what furthers any cause, is where people can enter into deep reflection on any of the deep moral issues of our day, and that's the importance of art to take them to those places.
Sister Helen, I want to play, if I could, just a brief piece from the opera, and let me ask you about one particular scene. At one point, your character is sung to by Joseph's mother and the parents of the murdered victim. So let's listen to that scene. So there's that line, you don't know what it's like to see your baby essentially lose his life. So there's the parents of the victim singing to your character. And this, of course, is a difficult, emotionally wrenching part of this debate. What's it like for you to hear that scene?
Yeah, because truly I was in the middle and in over my head. I had made a terrible mistake in real life, in the real story that's told in Dead Man Walking. And when I went and started accompanying a man on death row, I did not reach out to the murder victim's family. And the genius of this scene that Jake Heggie composed is the victim's families are singing, you don't know what it's like. See your child go out of the door, your baby. You never see him alive again. And then on the other side, Joseph DeRocher's mother is singing, you don't know what it's like to see your child slip through your fingers to the pardon board. Please don't kill my son. Don't kill my son. He's really a good boy. And I'm in the middle.
Sister Helen, I'd love to ask you about where you feel the country is now regarding the death penalty. This is work you've been involved with for a long, long time. There are still 33 states with a death penalty. Public support has diminished, but there's still a good deal of support in this country for it. So what's your view on where cause to abolish it stands now?
Okay. First of all, we can see the first way you end a practice, you end the practice of it, the practice begins to diminish, even though legislatures have it on their books. It comes from society being able to reflect on the deeper issues. They see a constellation of things. They've been impacted seriously by the number of innocent people that were released from death row because they were wrongly convicted, 142. Also, ironically, kind of, is the cost. It's extremely expensive to kill a human being. And I used to be kind of sad about this. Oh, no, don't tell me one of the turning points is going to be, you know, financial. I don't want to pay my taxpayers' money. But Martin Luther King once said that the most moral document you ever look at is a budget and the way we use our resources. So states like California that have 722 people on death row are recognizing we are pouring enormous money into killing one human person. They have 722 and the average waiting time is 20 years. And they're gradually waking up on it that maybe it's spent, it's not helping us, and it's time to turn away from it. So, and what has caused that is reflection. And what I am amazed at is the role of art, Anthony. And it awakens people. So they go to a deeper place.
Sister Helen Prejean, I just have one more question for you. What has kept you going all these years to not give up on this issue?
The dignity of human life. I've gotten to meet people on death row. I've accompanied 6 people to execution. They've all done terrible crimes. And then I started going to the victims' family support meetings, and I saw how alone they were. They said, everybody stays away from us. They don't know what to do with our pain. So they were being left alone. It's about human dignity for the victim's family. Can anybody really be healed by waiting 15, 20 years and watching as the state kills someone and they send a representative? What does that really do for them? Or does it forestall their healing because they're waiting for that magic moment when they'll get to see justice?
Boy, big questions. Sister Helen, yeah, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Anthony, really glad to be with you.
Sister Helen Prejean, speaking to us back in March of 2013. She was in federal court yesterday in Boston. She might be testifying for the defense in the trial of Jahar Tsarnaev on Monday. Stay with us. Coming up, director and choreographer Moses Pendleton, founding member of the Palabolas Dance Theater and now artistic director of the Momix Dance Company, which has a new show premiering in Boston tonight. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.